Good morning. Morning. And welcome to worship this morning at First Baptist Church here in Newark. I'd like to take a quick minute and thank Ray again for another opportunity to speak, especially on New Year's Day. Pastors kind of have maybe certain days that they enjoy maybe more than others, you know, Christmas, Easter, New Year's. So I really appreciate it when you asked me if I could speak today, even though you are still here. So it is an honor. Would like to say Happy New Year to everybody. Happy 2023. But of course, we said that in 2020, didn't we? And then in March, things kind of got a little nutty. What will 2023 bring? Sadness, heartache? Joy and happiness. We don't know. But what we just have to remember that what does come in 2023, whatever gets thrown at us, the tough times or good times, that God is in control. And that's just where we have to place our faith and remembrance in that God is in control. I'd say congratulations on making the right decision this morning by starting out the new year in church. Are the best decision you can make. And so welcome to everybody who came out this morning. So I guess you're expecting a New Year's sermon this morning. You're kind of right. We're going to do that. I've been preparing. I don't know that I could do what Ray does, having a sermon each week, because you probably asked me some months ago or weeks ago to do the sermon. So I've been preparing. It takes me that long to put something together. So to do it just Sunday after Sunday, we're truly blessed. And Ray puts forth the effort every Sunday, as we can tell. And that is something. So the question today is, why is it so important to be first? And that's kind of what we're going to look at. The starting of a race here, the only thing on those people's mind is winning. It's being first. That's why they're there. That's what they want to do. I have some examples on being first. Being a car guy, when I go to a car show, take my Mustang, I'd like to be first. I'd like to take first place. Seldom do, it's what we shoot for. Some years back, there was a guy that lived just right down here off Mayhew's. And he had an old Chevy, and I'd always drive by weekends and see him out there cleaning with his buddies. They'd all be hanging around. So one day I just stopped by, and it's kind of an unwritten code. A car guy can stop by another car guy's house and just start talking. And yeah, they were very nice and appreciated it. And we were chatting, and one of the guys goes, "Go get your trophy. Go show him the trophy." So he ran in the house and came out with this big old trophy. The guy won first place. And he was just as proud as he could be about that. Remember then when we were kids, totally different then than it is now, and that's a whole nother sermon. But when we were kids, we'd get a pickup game, either going after school or on the weekend. You get all the neighborhood's kids together, right? Maybe 10, 15, 20 kids or whatever, and then you get the two captains to pick the teams. Maybe you're going to do football or baseball or kickball game. And the two captains would pick. And if you got picked first, you were it. You were the guy or the young lady, whatever it was. If you got picked first, that said something. But what about the person who got picked last? Yeah, Jim raised his hand. I was going to say, I can tell you a bit about that. In those days, I was usually the smallest and the weakest, and would get picked last. You weren't important. In fact, a lot of times they wouldn't even finish out the pick. They'd just say, "Yeah, you two over there," and they'd turn their backs on you before they're even all finished. And then they might even tell you, "If you got something else you need to do, go ahead. We don't really need you." Being picked first was something, but being picked first last, altogether different. And then there's sports teams, right? High school, college, football. What's their goal? Finish first. That's it. Practice, practice, and finished first. Whatever it be in football, baseball, hockey, whatever's going on. Sports team's goal is to finish first. As kids, we would always go to Disneyland. It was a vacation my parents could afford because my grandparents lived in Anaheim and my aunt could get our family in for free. So it was something my parents could afford. We'd go to Disneyland. And in those days, you could get in and you could go as far as Main Street and they'd rope it off. So we told our dad, we said, "Dad, can we get right up front on the rope? Because we want to get to the Matterhorn first." So we got, he goes, "Yeah, go ahead, I'll meet you there." So we got right up front, right in front of that rope. As soon as they cut that rope back, we were gone. So we wanted to be first. Because if you didn't get there first, the line later, that was the ride of the time. And if you didn't get there first, you'd have quite a wait. So we did what we needed to do. And we ran the whole way to the Matterhorn. And we got there first, so we could be there. Then there's a hierarchy, right? The biggest, the strongest, the most popular. Don't they always seem to be first? Even if they're late to a function and there's a line, the biggest guy is usually just going to go get up there first. I'm not going to stop him. Bigger than me, so yeah, go ahead. The most popular always has friends. "Hey, come on up to the front of the line. Come on. I'll get you in first." It's just the way we are. It's our structure, how we are. Your name, your first name. You go to a restaurant and there's a line. You go up to give your name. What do they ask? "Can I have your first name?" They don't want your middle name or your last name. They want your first name. There's the firstborn. Firstborn, you have certain rights. Depends how many siblings you had in the structure of your home. But if it was possible, the firstborn would get his own bedroom, right? If it worked out. In biblical times, the firstborn would get the inheritance or the blessing. It's always the first. Always the first. And I'll go back to the Old West days, because I love the Old West. Taking a bath was kind of a privilege. So you do it like once a week, maybe, and you get a big tub. And they'd fill it with the hot water. You know, it was usually right there in the living room, because, you know, that's just where it was. Who went first? Head of the household. Dad went first. He got the hot water, he got the clean water. Then it was the mom, the kids. In fact, that's where the saying, "Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater," came from. Because by the time the baby's turn, if you weren't careful, you couldn't even see the baby in there more. The water's so dirty. So, and then when you emptied the tub, you had to make sure you had the baby out first. But dad got to go first, right? Head of the household. Head of the household got to go first. I know I'm kind of giving you a lot of examples and kind of building it up a little here. But does it matter being first? Does it really matter? That gentleman who won the car show with that trophy, I would imagine that trophy is probably in his garage now behind his bowling ball. Something else he doesn't use. He's collecting dust. What seemed important then, not so much now. If you were that person who got picked first on the sports team, what'd that get you? At the time, a little notoriety. Thought you were the best. But now, would nothing. It's a totally different time. And those sports teams, their only goal was to win. Mike might be maybe the only one in here, maybe a couple others that could say who won the World Series last year. Who won the Stanley Cup in hockey? When it happened, it was pretty big news. Less than a year later, it's hard to remember back. Say, "Oh yeah, that's right." Who Who was the best high school football team in the state of California? Who took state? I have no idea. But at the time, it was pretty neat. So does it matter? It's not really gonna make a difference. Do we stay up late April 30th to bring in May 1st? Or September 30th to bring in October 1st? No. January 1st is the biggie. See, I finally got here. New Year's message, January 1st. January 1st is a biggie, right? It's a lot of parties. Could see the big ball drop. You try to stay up past midnight. A lot of money is spent. There's a lot of money spent. Times Square, how many people go to Times Square just to see that event? That's just crazy. Last night our internet went out, so we lost the TV about 8 o'clock. Saw nothing. Probably one of my better New Year's. You know, it's just nice and quiet. But yeah, it's just huge. Every channel, there's something going on for New Year's first. New Year's first is a big one. You make New Year's resolutions. There's new beginnings. Do they last? What about that gym membership? My brother was huge in working out, and he was committed to it. He did it for years. He hated January and February because the gyms would get so packed with people, and then he'd find himself having to wait for that piece of equipment he used to just walk up to and, you know, use. But by March, April, it kind of tapered off, hasn't it? It's hard, you know, it's hard. By March, sometimes it's a memory. If we're gonna make a New Year's resolution, you know, Mike should be, I'm gonna try to run every day, right? I'm gonna try to walk every day. Pick something you're already doing. Makes it a lot easier. Makes it a lot easier to do it that way. But people will set something up, and by March, it's tough. So the things of the earth, they just don't last, right? We know that. They just don't last. But it's sure easy while we're here, while we're part of it, to get caught up in being first. The importance that it places on being first, it's easy to get caught up in that. I've noticed when I preach, which isn't that often, but a few times, that I usually have a two-point sermon. I'm not even sure what a three-point sermon is, Ray. You'll have to show me that sometime. But my two-point sermon is my sermon, which is me standing up here telling you my opinions and giving you my thoughts. And then the second point of the sermon is God's sermon, where we look at Scripture and we try to back up what we're saying. Is it important to be first? And to answer that question, we can see what Scripture says about being first. We'll find that in a couple instances in Matthew. In Matthew 16, 24, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Then in Matthew 20, just a couple chapters over, Matthew 20, 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the world says to be first. The Scripture says, deny yourself and serve others. So basically it's saying, put others first. Not always easy to do. But it says right there, that word deny. And then in verse 28, serve. That's what we're to do. Deny ourselves and serve. That's what Scripture says. So how do we do that? The good thing about Scripture is it answers a lot of questions. We can refer to the Bible on many instances, many circumstances, as they did way back when and as they will do in the future until Jesus returns, the Bible will still be here and it will still be answering questions. The passage Ray read this morning, I'll reread real quick, if you don't mind, Corinthians 4, or chapter 11, verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one there is given through Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these things are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he is determined. See, the Holy Spirit will equip us to deny ourselves and serve. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We talked about it in class this morning, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says the same Spirit in verse 4, the same Lord in verse 5, and the same God in verse 6. It's all the same. I remember telling one of the young ladies that had stayed with us one summer, I said, hey, I'm speaking in church. This was one of the first times I speak. I said, isn't that crazy? She goes, not really. You have the same Spirit, right? I didn't get more than Mike. You know, Jim didn't get less than Ray. It's the same Spirit. That's what will equip us to deny ourselves and to serve others. It's the only way we can do it. And then it's nice when we get an example, right? We can ask the question, we can answer the question, and then we can see an example. And our greatest example is Jesus, right? The Son of God. Think about that a minute. The Son of God is our example. The Almighty, all-powerful, all-everything is our example. We will see in John chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you will do them. The Son of God washed his disciples' feet. I think we have the slide there. To be an example. He said he did it as an example. I, your teacher, have washed your feet. You should also wash one another's. I have set you an example. Can you imagine Jesus Christ washing your feet? That'd be something. That's a pretty humbling experience. My Sunday school teacher in Belmont was a long life friend, family member. Name's Miss Emily Parker. Pam knows her, obviously. And our Sunday school class was doing this passage here in John. We were young adults at the time. She was teaching the class, and she got up. She went and got a thing of water and a rag, and she came out. I knew immediately what she's going to do. And I'm going, not me. Don't pick me. I didn't feel I was worthy to have my feet washed by Emily Parker. This was a dynamic lady of God. She was just truly a blessing. I thought, well, fortunately, okay, good, she picked somebody else. And she washed another gentleman's feet. But here I didn't want mine washed by Emily Parker. Could you imagine Jesus Christ washing our feet? See, in those days, you traveled, you walked a lot, obviously, on dusty roads, and you had sandals. So when you entered a person's house, you would wash their feet as a sign of love and respect. It was a service. Today is not necessarily what we do is wash people's feet, but it was an example of service. An example of, if Jesus Christ will do it, we should do it. We should serve, just as Jesus did. So being important was, or being first wasn't important to Jesus. So it shouldn't be important to us, right? It's deny ourselves and serve and put others first. In the church in Belmont, I know I always make reference to it, but as this church is home to a lot of you for many of years, that church was home to us for a number of years. It was set up a lot like this church. It had the same two doors coming in and out of the sanctuary. And when you came in, it said, enter to worship. We had that written across in the front. And then when we left, it said, depart to serve. So it was enter to worship and depart to serve. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Right? Before we enter to worship, we should examine ourselves when we come in the morning to worship here. Should take a minute and just turn that over to God. Let him cleanse our heart. Let him open our minds. We need to come in and we need to worship in song. It's a huge part of the worship service, right? And then we need to have preparation for when the person brings a message, which is usually Ray. It's easy to get caught up, and I do it quite a bit, that when you're here, and if you have something else planned for later that day, a lot of times that's where your mind can go, either when you're singing or listening to the message. You can get distracted. So we really need, when we come inside, just take a minute, turn it over to the Lord. Give him our hearts. Because that way, if we enter into worship and our hearts are right with God, when we leave, we can depart to serve in whatever manner that God chooses. It said at the end of Corinthians, he gives to each one as he determines. They're not all the same. As I look out through here, that's one neat thing about having a smaller congregation. I know all you personally, and I know a lot of your areas of service, and they're all different. But it's to the same Lord. It's to the same God. It's what we do it for. So New Year's resolution, right? Maybe our New Year's resolution should be enter to worship and depart to serve. Two reasons I think that should be a New Year's resolution is, one, it's a good one. That is a good one. And two, you're already doing it, right? What did I say earlier? Mike should New Year's resolution to walk or run and ready to walk. They're already doing it. Again, as I look out, everybody here in this room is already serving. So don't set that goal too high. Don't make it a resolution or something you can't achieve. Let's make a resolution of worshiping together and then serving. Serving the Lord. Because by March, it won't be a memory. You'll still be doing it. I bet in November you'll still be doing it. Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came into our lives. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and it changed our lives. And he equipped each one of us to serve in a different way. So what a better way to spend a new year, right? Starting it off in church in worship. And this being the first of the month, the first of the year, let's just set our sights on putting others first. That's one thing about bringing the message as well. I said it one other time. Sometimes I have trouble reaching that half hour point. But I don't think you have to. If this is what the Lord laid on my heart, and this is what it is, and that's what it is. But as I look out, we're all here to worship. You're all here to serve. And the Holy Spirit has equipped us to do that, has given us an example to do that, and the ability to do that. I want to thank you for coming out this morning, starting off your Sunday in worship. Now I'll turn it over to Ray, as then we follow up in the Lord's Supper. Thank you.